as we're attending to the cultivation of metta, of loving kindness, one of the qualities that is important to bring to mind is that the cause or one of the causes for the arising of loving kindness is the not attending to the things that are irritating or conducive to aversion, so that the as a conscious cultivation, we're paying attention to the things that are that we perceive as good or conducive to happiness and well-being. You're making a conscious choice. It doesn't mean you don't, everything is wonderful, beautiful, but it's like, do I really want to attend to the things that stir up the quality of aversion or the quality of ill will? So that by consciously attending to those things that one perceives as conducive to well-being, conducive to supporting the wish for well-being, then there's a momentum of that or there's a strength of intention forms within the mind, and one's able to sustain that flow of well-wishing. So the I think it's important to recognize that one doesn't need to completely override or dismiss one's faculties of discernment, and recognition that there are things that are conducive to aversion, ill will, but it's like just not giving it giving it much playing time in the mind. It's because in reality, I mean, if one wanted to sort of catalog all of the things that one is offended by or sort of feels disgruntled by, the list can start growing, and but it's sort of like, no, there's a conscious choice to not give it that attention. And recognizing the benefits of metta, the actual feeling of loving kindness, the physical sense of ease that one experiences, the mental sense of ease that one experiences, then we encourage ourselves to direct attention to that which is conducive to the welling up within consciousness of that, those thoughts and feelings of loving kindness. It's just in the same way of, you know, likening it to food. I mean, there's lots of foods that are, you know, draw our attention. But if we sort of make our diet one of sort of cheesecake and junk food, we end up with it not very healthy. And I have a friend in Australia who sent me a picture. It was the it was captioned, and before he opened the attachment, it was sort of, Michelangelo's David returns to Italy after 2 years in America. It's this picture of this obese David. That was very funny. So what we feed on, and or what we nourish ourselves with, in the same way that the heart needs to be nourished by sort of the positive thing, things that brighten the mind, brighten the heart, and bring a sense of well-being, so that that conscious cultivation of loving kindness is a skillful way of directing attention. And as we do that, then it sort of acts almost as a solvent to take away the niggling thoughts and moods of aversion and ill will. And sort of dissolves it and washes it away. So it's that it's performing its function when one allows it to. So that cultivation of loving kindness. And we, and that has a certain power. Within consciousness, because it's that when we see things through the light of aversion and ill will, irritation, then everything is an impingement. Everything is a source of irritation. Things get read through that light of irritation, and it's one of the images that the Buddha uses describing the hindrances. Is he uses the image of water, with the in the sense that when water is left to its own devices, it's clean, it's pure, it's cool, it's very, it's satisfying, it's refreshing, you can see through it clearly. But then when he gives the image of that he compares to, say, the hindrance of ill will and aversion, then he compares it to boiling water. It's water that's boiling, it's boiling, it's bubbling, you can't see a reflection in it. You can't see it through, can't see through it clearly, and of course, it's if it bubbles out of the pot, the pan, then it splashes on you, it burns you. And so in the same way, aversion and ill will has that same same quality. But it's, if as we settle the mind down, bring the mind back to its natural state and not add that aversion and ill will to it, cool it with that development of metta, then it returns to a clear, limpid state that is it's refreshing to look at, it's refreshing to use, to wash with, drink, whatever. You can do anything you want with it. So the mind is brought to that state. You know, recollecting the life of the Buddha as an example of loving kindness, there are some, say, incidents within the Buddha's life that are good examples of how that loving kindness sort of affected by his relying on it, application of it. It had this sort of powerful effect. And one is the story of toward the Buddha's life where his cousin Devadatta, who was a monk as well, but he was very covetous of the position of Buddha, and he wanted to take over. And the Buddha sort of didn't give him much encouragement. And he conceived a grudge against the Buddha and plotted in ways to kill him. And one of the ways that he did that was by bribing one of the king's men, who they were the keepers of a Nalagiri, who was a state elephant, but he was kind of a rogue elephant. He had a specific his job description was also executioner, so that was. He was not a nice elephant. So they also sort of plied him with alcohol, and then let him loose as the Buddha was approaching, with the idea that this sort of enraged elephant would trample the Buddha. And Ananda, is the Buddha's trusty companion, sort of saw this elephant coming, and Ananda immediately sort of jumped in front of the Buddha, wanting to protect the Buddha. And the Buddha said, asked him to step aside. And then what the Buddha did was just radiate loving kindness. And as the story goes, then this Nalagiri, this elephant, came barreling up to the Buddha, but then was kind of stopped in his tracks and quite close to the Buddha. And just affected by the that power of loving kindness, and then sort of bowed at the feet of the Buddha, to use his trunk to get some dust at the feet, the Buddha's feet, put it on his head. Yeah, that's this lovely sort of story. It could very well have happened. Even if it didn't, it's still a nice story. For the most part, it's rare that we're faced with raging elephants coming towards us. But that was the Buddha's option, was to use loving kindness. And having that sort of trust in the power of loving kindness. I think for ourselves in having contact in day-to-day life with different circumstances and whatnot, it's very helpful to be bringing up images of, the Buddha can rely in such extreme circumstances on loving kindness, why don't I give it a try? I'm going to give it a shot in this circumstance, see what happens. And generally, you'll find that it works. Something shifts. Something changes. It's quite a natural part of the natural order somehow, that all beings respond to loving kindness. I remember one time for myself, when I was still living in Thailand and fairly young at being an abbot and having conflict with a few of the monks, and just this constant feeling of agitation and wondering, why these idiots don't comply with my rightness. It was obvious to me. After some time, using that method, not being very successful at it, thinking, right, loving kindness. Maybe I'll give that a try. And then I made a point because it's this sort of small group of monks that had sort of banded together, but it was creating a lot of divisions all through the community and then what I did was just start going an alms round, which it was a longer route that they went, so close to an hour and a half almost so that I went on the route that they had been going on, and then so that throughout the whole period of, because it's usually in silence that you go walking through the countryside into the village or villages and then come back, and it's every morning right at just after dawn. So I would begin the day by going alms round with them, and then taking that whole time to visualize and to generate loving kindness and spread loving kindness to them. And try to hold that as clearly as I could through that whole time. And then through the day, various duties and whatnot, as I try to bring it to mind as best I could during the day, but made a real strong point of focus during the alms round to do that. And it was really interesting because it was probably about the third day then those monks started coming to me and sort of, whereas before the communication had completely sort of shut down, and they came and communication, it all sort of opened up from there and were able to sort of discuss and talk and figure out where we'd gone off track and whatnot. So it was resolved just within a few days by doing that. And I found it quite astounding and inspiring. This is what, if you really set your mind with loving kindness, it has a very transformative effect. As well as the fact, the major effect was, of course, myself lowering my, by not holding two fixed views. That helps a lot. These are sort of circumstances that whether it's, it seems pretty mundane and isn't as spectacular as the stories of the Buddha, but it's, I think each person, I think you'll probably find that if you've already experimented with loving kindness and that, then you'll have a story, or you'll know somebody who has a story where it's really worked for them. Or if you take the time to cultivate it and use it, then there'll be some kind of effect. It's just is quite natural. To say that sense of loving kindness is a universal quality that we as human beings all respond to. Today I'd like to introduce another formulation of the loving kindness meditations, and it was from the one that we chanted this morning, that I will abide pervading one quarter with a mind. This is in the chanting book. It has heart. It's how it's usually translated as mind. And I've always found it when it chants, for me it seems to chant a bit nicer with mind, although. And this is the most common formulation of the loving kindness and the four Brahma Viharas in the discourses. This is when you read the suttas, this is the one you'll most often find. It comes up in many, 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 many places. And it's a using the I will abide pervading one quarter. And this is kind of directional in the sense of how they conceived of the, say, the directions, the four quarters. With the mind imbued with loving kindness, likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. These are sort of so above and below, around and everywhere, unto all as to myself. So that is a that sense of spreading loving kindness in the different directions, north, south, east, west, above, below, all around. So that one is allowing that feeling of loving kindness to expand, and of course, and to all as to myself, so that establishing that feeling of loving kindness within the heart, within oneself, and then allowing that to pervade, to extend itself. And that's what the next part of it, I will abide pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving kindness, in this sense of the extension of the world. And ultimately sort of all worlds, I mean, not just sort of how we conceive of this little world floating in space, our little planet, but sort of all worlds, just allowing that sense of extensive, and it's that with that quality, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. And of course, that is giving those parameters of recognition that, yeah, it's without any form of allowing the hostility to drop, allowing ill will to drop, is the key to that spreading of loving kindness, that sending forth or shining forth, as in the chant. You know, now let us make the four boundless quality shine forth. When we allow the heart, the mind to be established in those sublime qualities, and to allow it to shine forth, not obstructing it with aversion, ill will, worry, fear, all of the tendencies that we can add. And you know, as we do that, and we just really allowing the heart to feel abundant, exalted, immeasurable. You see these qualities which are they're truly beautiful, as a if we think of what is a beauty, a physical beauty in the world, it sort of doesn't really really compare to the beauty of a sublime quality like loving kindness. It's actually one of the images that the Buddha uses, sort of like the of all. He gives various comparisons, sort of like of all the stars. there isn't anything that shines as bright as the sun. So in the same way, there isn't any quality that shines as bright as loving kindness. Or in the nighttime, there isn't anything that shines as bright as the full moon. So in the same way that there isn't another quality that shines as brightly as loving-kindness. So there he gives various images, and those are apt images. And certainly nourishing oneself with those qualities of loving kindness, as there was centered, no one pervading above, below, around, and everywhere, and to all as to myself. And really, that sense of establishing it within oneself, so that there's this feeling of abundant, exalted, immeasurable. Because it wasn't very long after we did the translation of these chants and started chanting them that somebody was sort of, well, I do this loving kindness and it's supposed to be abundant, exalted, immeasurable, and all I feel is abandoned, exhausted, and miserable. It's like, okay. So that just that drawing attention to slowly building the momentum and allowing it to take hold within the heart. Like one of the things that we need to be have a tremendous amount of kindness and well wishing for is just the habits of our own mind. We're so deeply ingrained, and not to be daunted by that. And sort of that's it can be. It's all doable. It's all workable. And that it's just sort of drop by drop and little by little, one can be establishing these qualities and bringing them to mind and sort of sowing the seeds, and over time, and it definitely grows. And sometimes one, I think the image that I've oftentimes heard the Thai monks use of when we're cultivating good qualities and cultivating that which is skillful, we have to be willing to do it like a farmer who's sowing rice, because it's like you're just throwing these seeds away, just throwing them out in the fields, you're just throwing them away, and you're not quite sure whether is this going to work, is it not going to work, and what's going to happen. But it's the nature of things, and that when the conditions are right, when the sun is there, the water is there, the soil is good, those sort of seeds that you threw away, they'll come up into plants, and they'll go through that cycle. So similarly with our practice and cultivation of loving kindness, just putting sowing those seeds of loving kindness in the heart, and plugging it in into consciousness, and one finds it comes back again. What arises is those feelings of spaciousness and a sense of warmth and kindness. Can use this time using this as a kind of a theme, this particular chant, and as we sit and try to bring into being those thoughts and feelings of loving kindness. As we sit and begin the practice, one of the things is to, like in this chant, and to all as to myself, to really bring attention to oneself in the sense of visualizing oneself sitting here, or whenever one's sitting, to visualize oneself as happy, as if one looked in the mirror at a time when one was very happy, feeling well, comfortable, at ease, and one saw oneself in the mirror, and to bring that into mind, into consciousness. Here is myself sitting here, happy, at ease, free from fear, free from ill will, free from anxiety. And just allowing that to establish itself. And then to use those phrases. May I be well and happy. May I maintain this feeling of happiness and well-being. And then allowing it to settle, pervade the body, allowing it to, breathing it in through the so that it pervades the from the top of the head as you breathe in, just allowing that sense of, just in the same way that the breath energizes the body, that feeling of loving kindness energizes, brightens, relaxes, softens the head, top of the head, the face, the neck, shoulders, and breathing out, it's relaxing, releasing any tension, any feeling of conflict, difficulty, just allowing it to release. Breathing in, allowing that warmth of loving kindness to pervade through the shoulders, the arms, just relaxing, softening the whole chest, back, abdomen, the softening but energizing, brightening. And that's the kind of the nature of that loving kindness energy. The lower back, hips, the legs, the knees, down to the soles of the feet. It's letting that energy of loving kindness establish itself within oneself. Again, one uses those thoughts or reminders, whether it's just the planting that seed of one word of the metta, or it's some other formulation that seems to strike a chord with you. That sense, wishing and gladness and his safety, may all beings be at ease. May I be well and happy. Again, whatever works. Because again, one's not trying to be sort of technically correct. One's just trying to say, what's actually going to work? What's going to be helpful? Feel one's way through it. And then allowing that sense of loving kindness to establish itself within the heart and within this being. And then allowing that feeling to expand, pervade, suffuse. And it's helpful to say, not be too ambitious at the beginning, but just sort of, just if one's, you know, using the different quarters, I'll pervade one quarter with a mind imbued with loving kindness. You know, you can just take just 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet around you. Sort of okay. And pervading one quarter of the north, what's in front of you, what's on the eastern side or on the right hand side, what's in the south, the southern direction, behind one, western direction, on one's left hand side, above, below, around and everywhere. And to all as to myself. And just allow that to stabilize, feel comfortable. And breathing into that space, allowing the breath energy and the energy of loving kindness to pervade that space, whatever you sort of conceived of it in your mind as. And this is just small beginnings around one. And just allowing that feeling to not be obstructed by discursive thought or the sense of, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? Sort of analyzing, thinking about it. This is a feeling exercise. Allowing that sense of pervading that space, whatever it is, however one's conceived of it, 5, 10 feet around, with a mind imbued with loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, and to all as to myself, and that without hostility, without ill will. And these are reminders to keeping it bright, keeping it clear, allowing it to stabilize. And then using that, the phrase again, that I will abide, pervading one quarter, with a mind imbued with loving kindness. And just extending it to whatever feels comfortable. It could be we're here in a kind of a valley. We're just pervading this valley with loving kindness. We're sitting here, and the one quarter, what's in front, all the people, all the beings, whether they're human beings, people in our group, people in, say, that are resident here, the animals that are here, kind of the beings that are non-material, any earth devas, any other kind of beings that are here, sort of extending loving kindness to them, including all beings. And then allowing that extension to the, likewise the second quarter of the east, or off to one's right, all those beings in that quarter, and those who are in this, into the south, those who are behind one, those who are on one's left hand side, all of those in that quarter, allowing that to extend and becoming more expansive and brightening. Now, just that sense of all beings are, say, worthy of our loving kindness. All beings would sort of appreciate. And it's just the same when we meet somebody who gives us a look, a gesture of kindness. It's always appreciated. It's just is natural. So that as we sit and generate, spread, suffuse, pervade that space, the four quarters, above and below, around and everywhere, allowing that to become more and more bright, not being held back by one's sort of feeling of limitation, because we say limit ourselves by our perception of not capable, not able, not worthy, not good enough. You realize, oh, that's not really necessary. It doesn't apply. With loving kindness, it really doesn't apply. No. Because it's such a universal quality. Not allowing that to pervade. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility, without ill will. And recognizing that say, whether it's just a niggling bit of ill will, just a flash of negativity, it's a limitation on the heart. And that can be set aside. It can be dropped. We can allow that feeling of loving kindness to expand We can continue working with it, continue experimenting, allowing that feeling of loving kindness to extend further out, including more and more beings, not making any distinction, not dividing the world up into us and them, or me and others, just sort of recognizing that the heart of loving kindness doesn't make those distinctions. That's its fundamental quality, and that's what gives us its strength. When we're able to not get bogged down in those distinctions. And of course, as we make those distinctions, me and others, us and them, the feeling of constriction is immediately felt. If one feels the suffusing of loving kindness sort of collapsing, then it's just starting back again, directing loving kindness toward oneself, and to all as to myself. So really attending to those thoughts of loving kindness toward oneself, and that that's the seed, that's the core, that's the base that we work from. There's a teacher in Thailand who is primary. Teaching tool and methodology is the cultivation of loving kindness, and sometimes he'll have people working with that establishing of loving kindness towards oneself, and won't encourage them to go beyond that a year, 2 years, 3 years. Just keep working on that. That's the core. Don't get ambitious until you can really lay that base, really establish that solidly within oneself. But as an exercise, and as it's interesting to just sort of see, well, what does the mind do as we allow the mind to expand and pervade? And again, if you feel there's some obstruction, something come up, reestablish that. There's no rush to go anywhere. There's no rush to do anything. The main object of the contemplation or the meditation is to establish that feeling of loving kindness, the metta, aramana, the mood, the object of loving kindness within the heart, and that's where we keep allowing that to grow and nurturing that, nourishing that, supporting that. And if we're able to extend it out and it's useful in that cultivation, sort of well and good. But it's sort of pay attention to the experience and its usefulness. Is it useful? Is it working? Is it helpful? Using those qualities of I will abide pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable. without hostility and without ill will. So we can take the opportunity to sit quietly, work with that for a while, and I'll ring the bell shortly.